Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
August 29th, we're in Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Hei. Sigeo is king, and Nebuchadnezzar put him there. Nebuchadnezzar had him take a shvua, take an oath that he would not rebel, and also they would not give away that he had seen Nebuchadnezzar eating a wild rabbit. And Tzidkio broke the shvua. We learned earlier that Hashem put it into Tzidkio to do that because Hashem wanted to bring the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Vahibishnas HaTishiyas, the Malcha, was in the ninth year of his reign. He ruled for 11 years. So we were in the third to last year of his reign. Bachodesh HaAsiri, in the 10th month, Be'asar LaChodesh, in the 10th of the month, that is what we call Asara B'Teves. The 10th month is Teves, the 10th of the month is the 10th of Teves. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, came, hu v'chol chelo, he and all of his army, al Yerushalayim, Vayichan aleha, and he encamped against it. Vayivnu aleha doyek saviv, and they built upon it doyek. Doyek is they build around a city that has a wall that's under siege. So they build up the area around it so that they can fire over the wall.
It says forts.
Forts, okay, all around it. Vatavo here by Matzor, the city came under siege. Ad Ashtei Esrei Shana LaMelech Tzidkiyahu, until the 11th year of the king Tzidkiyahu. Besisha LaChodesh, in the 9th of the month. Now, it doesn't say which month. So, in Yirmiyahu, it says this is the 4th month. The 4th month is Tammuz. So, in the 9th of Tammuz, Vayechazak Hara'av Ba'ir, the famine became great in the city. V'lohaya lechem la'am haaretz, there was no bread for the people of the land. V'atibalka ha'ir, and the city was broken open. That's when they broke through the walls. Even though we observe Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, as the date that the walls of Yerushalayim were broken open, that's because that's what happened in the second Beis HaMikdash with the Romans. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, it appears, there's a difference of opinion, but it appears that it happened on the 9th of the month, a month before Tisha B'Av. The 9th of Tammuz is when the city was, when the walls were broken open. V'cholanshi ha'melchama, and all the men of the war, halayla, that night, derech shar bein ha'chomosayim, they went the way of the gate, bein ha'chomosayim, between the, it's literally between the walls. It means there was a cave, it was a secret cave. Asher al Gan HaMelech, that was in the garden of the king. The Chastim al Ha'ir Saviv, and the Chastim, which is the name of the people of Bavel, were on the city around it. Vayelech Derech Ha'arava, and he, Tzidkiyo, went the way of the Arava. He had a secret tunnel, a cave, that went from his palace, and it went to Arvos, it went to the area of Yericho. That's where it was. That's where he was meant to escape from. So that's what he did. But Vayirdefu Chel Kastim Achar HaMelech, the army of the Kastim chased after the king, Vayasigu Oso Ba'arvos Yerecho, and they caught him at the crossings of Yericho. V'chol Chelo, and all of his army, Nafotsu Mei Olav, they dispersed from him. They caught the king, they caught his children, they managed to get him. So the Gemara tells us that Hashem wanted Tzidkiyahu to be caught. The Kastim didn't know that they were running after him. They couldn't know because they didn't know where this secret cave. However, Hashem brought a deer, and the deer was in front of the army, the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar, and for sport, they chased after this deer, and the deer eluded them, and they kept chasing the deer. And the deer, they didn't realize it, of course, was running in the area on top of the cave. And they finally caught up to this, they tracked the deer, and they caught up to the deer just as the deer got to the entrance, or the exit, of the cave at Yericho, just as Tzidkiyo and his entourage were emerging from the cave. So there was no escape. Hashem had them capture Tzidkiyahu. Vayispesues Hamelech, and they captured the king. Vayaluo so El Melech Bavel Rivlasa. They brought him to the king of Bavel to Rivla. Vaydabru itom Ishpat, and they spoke to him in judgment. In other words, the king Nebuchadnezzar judged Tzidkio for having violated the oath. And the children of Tzidkio, the sons, they shechted them, they slaughtered them to the eyes of Tzidkio, they killed them right in front of Tzidkio. And then they blinded the eyes of Tzidkio. In other words, the last thing he saw were his kids being killed, and then they blinded him. And they put him in chains. And they brought him to Bavel. So as we mentioned last week, this means that the future of Malchus based David cannot come from Tzidkio because his line was destroyed right there. And in the fifth month, which is Av, b'shiva l'chodesh, on the seventh of the month, hishnas tishas reishana l'melech Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, which would be the 19th year of the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. So as we mentioned, the first year he became king, he captured Nineveh. The second year he captured Yerushalayim. This is now 18 years after he first captured Yerushalayim. Ba Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim. Nevuzaradan, the chief butcher, came. Evan Melech Bavel, the slave, the servant of the king Bavel, Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim. So Nevuzaradan is tasked with destroying everything. Vayisrofes Beis Hashem, and he burned the house of Hashem, Ves Beis HaMelech, and the house of the king. Ves Kol Bati Yerushalayim, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, Ves Kol Beis Gadol Saraf Baish, and all great houses he burned in fire. The Gemara in Megillah tells us Beis Gadol means Bayis Shemegadlim Bo Torah, Bayis Shemegadlim Bo Tefillah, the houses that they raise up Torah, the houses they raise up Tefillah. Bayis Gadol refers to shuls and Bate Midrashos, and he burned them down. Ves Chomos Yerushalayim Saviv, and the walls of Yerushalayim around, Nostzu Kochel Kastim, the entire army of the Kastim broke down, Asher Rav Tabachim, that were with the chief butcher. Ves Yesram and Yisharim Boyer, and the rest of the nation that was left in the city, Ves HaNofalim Asher Noflu Al HaMelech Bavel, and those that had fallen to the king of Bavel, those who had given themselves up earlier to the king of Bavel, Ves Yeser HaHamon, and the rest of the multitude, Hegla Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim, Nevuzaradan, the chief butcher, took them into Galus, sent them into Galus, to Bavel. Umidalas HaAretz, and from the weak ones of the land, Hishir Rav Tabachim, the chief butcher, allowed them to remain, Lechormim, to farm the vineyards, Ule Yogvim, and to dig ditches, to dig whatever digging was needed in the area. So he took most of the people into Galus, he left a skeletal amount of people behind to tend to the land, obviously, to produce things for the king of Bavel. This he came on the 7th of Av. Here it is not recorded what day he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but we know it was 2 days later, that on Tisha B'Av is when he burned down the Beis HaMikdash. Ves Amudei Anachoshes, and the pillars of copper, Asher Beis Hashem, that were in the house of Hashem. Ves HaMechonos, and the Mechonos, those were the portable, they had bowls of water that were moved around the Beis HaMikdash. Ves Yam HaNechoshes, and the copper yam that was a huge mikvah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Beis Hashem, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Shibru Chastim, they broke it, they broke them. Vayisu es Nechushtam Bavela, and they took the copper to Bavel. Ves HaSiros, Ves HaYoim, Ves HaMizamros, Ves HaKapos. These are different pots and forks and instruments and spoons. Ves Kol Klei HaNechoshes Asher Yishar Suvam Lakachu, and all the other copper items they took. Ves HaMachtos, Ves HaMizrakos, and the pans and the bowls. Asher Zav Zav, Asher Kesef Kosef, that which was gold, gold, that which was silver, silver. Lakach Rav Tabachim, the chief butcher, took them as well. Ha'amudim Shnayim, the two pillars. Hayam Ha'echad, the one huge mikvah, v'mechonos, and those mechonos, those portable they carried the bowls of water. Asher also Shlomo leveis Hashem, that Shlomo had made for the house of Hashem. Shlomo had made these things 410 years earlier. Lohaya mishkol in choshes kol akelim o'ela. There was no weight. There was no amount of copper. All of these utensils. There was a great deal of copper. Shmona esrei ama komo asamura echad. The height of one of the pillars was 18 amos. V'choseres halav nechoshes, and there was a crown part of that was copper. V'komas hakoseres shalosh amos, and the height of the crown was 3 amos. We learned about this all the way back in the beginning of Malachim. Usvacha, and a lattice work. V'rimonim, and pomegranates. Ala koseres saviv, that was on the crown around. Hakol nechoshes, everything made out of copper. V'cha'ela lo amur hasheni, the same thing for the second pillar. Al hasevacha, on the lattice work, or the screen work, whatever you want to call it. V'ikach rav tabachim es Saraya Kohen Arosh, and the chief butcher took Saraya, who was the chief Kohen. V'es Tzifan Yahu Kohen Mishneh, the second in command, Tzifan Yahu. V'es Shloshes Shomrei Asaf, and the three people who were in charge of the treasury, I believe that's what that means. He took them, so these are the leaders of the Kohanim. Umino Irim from the city of Yerushalayim, Lakach Sare Sechad, he took the chief governor, Ashu Pakir Anshem Muhammad, that was in charge of the people of the war. Vachamisha Anoshim Meiroe Vnei HaMelech Hashanim Tzuvayirin, five men who were of those who were of the inner circle of the king's cabinet that were in the city. Beis HaSofer Sarat Sava, and the Sofer, the scribe, and who was the scribe of the general. Hamatzbias Am Haaretz, that he arranged the Amar. So he knew the arrangements of the army, all the different soldiers where they belonged. V'shishim each ish me'am ha'aretz, and 60 men from the Am Ha'aretz, from the people of the land, Hanim Sambir, that were found in the city. This is the entire governing body that the king had beneath him in the city. Vaykach Osam who was Aradam Rav Tavachim, who was Aradam, the chief butcher, took them. Vayolech Osam al Melech Bavel Rivlasa, brought them to the king Bavel in Rivla. Vayach Osam Melech Bavel, so the king of Bavel struck them by Yemisem, and he killed them in Rivla, Beretz Hamas and Lev Hamas. He executed them. Vayigel Yehuda Me'al Admaso, and Yehuda was exiled from Mon's land. By destroying the leadership, then it made it much easier to then exile everybody else. The people that remained in the land of Yehuda that were left behind by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and he appointed upon them the famous Gedaliahu ben Achikam ben Shafan. As we know, Tzom Gedaliah, this is Gedaliahu ben Achikam. He was appointed to lead the people who were left behind in Eretz Yisrael. He was not from the royal family. Gedaliah ben Achikam was a governor that Nebuchadnezzar put in place, who would lead the people, but he was not from the Zera HaMalucha. He was not from the king. There was a very notable person here as well, which is not mentioned here in Malachim, although his name will be mentioned presently, and that is Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu the Navi was with them as well. And all the officers of the army, they and the men, the rest of the army, they heard that the king of Babel had appointed Gedaliahu. This is all of the soldiers and officers who were in hiding, who had dispersed and they were hiding in the hills. So they heard that Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Gedaliahu. They came to Gedaliahu, to the mitzvah, that's the area. V'Yishmael ben Nesanya, and Yishmael ben Nesanya, that's a very significant name, as we'll see in a moment. V'Yochanan ben Kareach, also another significant name. U'Saraya ben Tanchumes Hanitofasi, it's a person's name. V'Ya'az Noyahu ben Amachasi, Hemavan Shem, these are all various leaders of the people. They also heard. They came. Gedaliah swore to them and to their men. He said to them, "Al tiru, do not be afraid of the servants of the kastim, of the people from Babel. Shvu va'aretz, dwell in the land. V'ibdu es melech Babel, and you should serve the king Babel. V'itav lachem, and he will do good for you. Don't be afraid. They're not going to come after you anymore. They set us up here. They want us to stay here." And that's what happened. However, Vayihi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i was in the seventh month. As we know, Tzom Gedaliah is the day after Rosh Hashanah, which most years is on the third day of Tishrei. When Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, then the third day of Tishrei is a Shabbos. And then we push off Tzom Gedaliah to Sunday, which is the fourth day of Tishrei. However, there's conflicting opinions when Gedaliah is murdered, whether it is on the third day of Tishrei or whether it is on Rosh Hashanah itself, but we don't make Rosh Hashanah into a fast day, and rather we push it off until the first day we can, which is most years the third day of Tishrei. But it was in the seventh month. Bar Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama. Yishmael ben Nesanya, he was just mentioned before, ben Elishama, he came. Mizera HaMalucha, that's significant, because he was from the line, not of David HaMelech, but he was from the line of Peretz, of the descendants of Yehuda of Peretz. Vasara Anashim Yitu had 10 men with him. Vayaku es Gedaliahu Vayamos, they struck Gedaliahu and they killed him. Vesayudim Vesakastim Ashayu Yitu Bamitzvah, and he also killed the Jews and the Kastim were with him at the Mitzvah. So Yishmael ben Nesanya wanted to have the leadership for himself. Even after the Jews had been taken into exile, Yishmael ben Nesanya was still out to take the leadership for himself. Therefore, he murdered Gedaliah and the people with him. Of course, this scared everybody. Now, the main story of the murder of Gedaliah at the hands of Yishmael ben Nesanya is told in the book of Yirmiyahu. Here it is mentioned briefly. So all the nation, the young, the old, and the officers, they came to Mitzrayim, because now they were afraid of the kastim, they were afraid that now there was going to be retribution, that Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't stand for this, that they killed the man who he had put in place, and now there would be punishment. Therefore, they ran to Mitzrayim. What is not told here is that the Navi Yirmiyahu warned them, do not run to Mitzrayim. Stay where you are. Hashem will protect you. And they would not believe him. They did run to Mitzrayim, and it does not tell the story here, but eventually, very few years later, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Mitzrayim and killed all those who had run from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim after the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam. The Navi jumps ahead. Was the 37th year after the exile of Yoyachin, the king of Yehuda. Remember, that was 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So 37 years after the Galus Yehoyachin is 26 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Bishnei Masar Chodesh, in the 12th month, that's Adar, Be'ezim v'shiva l'chodesh, in the 27th of the month, Nasa Evil Mirodach Melech Bavel, Bishnas Malcho, the Evil Mirodach, the king of Bavel, he's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, so he, in the first year of his reign, he lifted up Esrosh Yoyachin Melech Yehuda Beiskele, the head of Yoyachin, king of Yehuda, from the jail. In other words, he took him out of jail. The Navi tells us, again, you have to put together various Nevi'im, particularly Yirmiyahu, that Nebuchadnezzar died on the 25th day of Adar. He was buried on the 26th day of Adar, and on the 27th day of Adar, Evil Merodach took Yoyachin out of jail. He spoke good to him, and he put his throne, his chair, the chair of Yoyachin, above the chairs of the kings that were with him in Bavel. As he elevated him to a very high status. Vishina Ace Bigde Chilo, and he changed his prison clothing, gave him nice clothing. V'acha lechem tamid lefanav kol yemei chayav, and he, Yoyachin, ate good bread in front of him all the days of his life, meaning the rest of his life. He had been in jail for 37 years. But after that, Yoyachin was given royal treatment Varuchaso, Aruchas Tamid, and his meal was constantly Nitna Lo Meis Hamelach Dvayom Biyoma, was given to him from the king each day. He didn't have to work. He was given his meals. Kol Yimei Chayav, all the days of his life. The Navi ends off Sefer Malachim instead of ending off with the destruction of the kings, because that's the end of Malachim. Our next Melech hasn't been written yet. Our next Melech is Melech HaMashiach. So it hasn't been written yet. So he didn't want to end with the destruction of the Malucha, and therefore he ends with where the Malucha would continue, which is that Yehoyachin was taken out of jail. We already learned before that while he was in jail, still he was able to procreate with his wife, and that Zerubbabel was born in Bavel, which is Nehemiah, and so the Malucha does go on, although we don't formally have a king until Mashiach comes. That's the way that Sefer Malachim ends. That's the way it ends over here. Now, in Divrei Hayamim, the same story is told, of course, but towards the end, I'm in Perek Lamed Vav in Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 36, which is the end of Divrei Hayamim. So the same sad story, it does say, I'm going to just pick out a couple of psukim over here before we get to the end, but it says in Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Vayishlach Hashem Elokeav Oseihem Aleihem B'yar Malachav Hashkem V'shaloach, that Hashem sent to Hashem, the God of their fathers, sent upon them in the hands of his messengers, in the hands of the Nevi'im, early and continuing on. He continually sent Nevi'im to warn the Jewish people to do tshuva, ki chamal alamo v'alam ono, because he had mercy on his nation and on his house. Vayu mal'ivim b'malachei olakim, they rejected the messengers of Hashem. Ubozim dvarav, and they would degrade Hashem's words. Umitat im b'neviav, and they would, in other words, they would denigrate his neviim. Adalos chamas Hashem ba'amo ad la'in marpeh, until Hashem's anger went up against his nation to the point where there was no way to stop it. So then he brought Nebuchadnezzar against them, and he destroyed them, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, and took them into galus. So Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, in Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36, Vayogel Asheris min Acherav el Bavel, the rest, those who survived the war, were taken into galus to Bavel. Vayu lo levanav la'avadim, and they were as servants to Bavel, to Nebuchadnezzar, ad meloch malchus paras, until the kingdom of Persia took control. From the king of Bavel, it was the Persians who then defeated the Babylonians and took control of the known world. Lemalos dvar Hashem befi Yirmiyahu, to fulfill the word of Hashem that had been in the mouth of Yirmiyahu. In Perek Chavtes, in chapter 29 of Yirmiyahu, there is a nevuah, which is, Ad ratzes saha aretz es shabso seha, that there will be galus until the land has been appeased for its shmitas that were not kept. Those shmitas that were not kept, kol yimea shama shavasa, all the days of desolation, it now got its shmitas. In other words, the years that should have been, that the land should have been non-worked, now the Jews aren't there to work it. It remains desolate. Lemalos shivim shana, to fulfill 7 years. This is one of the two. I mean, this is a reference to the one in Yirmiyahu. So this one and the one in Yirmiyahu, which is the same one, is one of the two references to 70 years. We'll talk about this in a moment. Uvishnas achas l'choresh melech paras, and in the first year of Koresh, the king of Persia, l'chlos tavar Hashem b'fi Yirmiyahu, when the words of Hashem ended from Yirmiyahu, in other words, when those 70 years were over, that's what that means. Heyir Hashem esruach Koresh melech paras, Hashem aroused the spirit of Koresh, the king of Paras, Vayaver Kol Bechol Malchuso, and he made an announcement all of his kingdom, Vegam Bamichtav Lamar, and also in writing, saying, Komar Koresh Melech Paras, so says Koresh, the king of Paras, Komam Lechos Haaretz Nasan Li Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, that all the kingdoms of the land, Hashem, the God of Shamayim, has given to me, V'ufakar Alai, Livnos Lo Vayis, B'Yushalayim, Asher B'Yehuda, and he appointed me to build for him a house in Yushalayim, that is in Yehuda, Mi Vachem Mikolamo, Hashem Elokav, Imo V'Yal, who amongst you, from all of his nation, Hashem is God, should be with him, and go up, and he gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. These psukim of Komar Koresh, these psukim, is the beginning of Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra starts with these same psukim. So the Navi here is segueing from Divrei Hayamim, which is the end of Malachim as well, into the beginning of Sefer Ezra. So that's what we have over here. So I want to take a couple of minutes here to give some background. Really, we learned a lot of this already, but I want to just give us some context of what's happening and discuss the 70 years briefly. Everything we're going to say now, we have talked about before. We learned Ezra and Nehemiah. We learned Daniel. We learned, we learned Esther.
Yes.
So we've talked about these things extensively, but I want to briefly touch upon them. Most everyone hasn't seen any or listened to this in a while, so we'll cover some of it now in the moments we have left. So the Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. He was king for 45 years. So 37 years after the Gullus of Jehoiachin, he dies, and Jehoiachin is taken out of jail. His Nebuchadnezzar's son, Evil Merodach, takes over as king. He's obviously nicer to Jehoiachin than Nebuchadnezzar was. Evil Merodach rules for 23 years. That's a total of 68 years. 45 and 23, a total of 68 years. Then, after Evil Merodach dies, Belshazzar takes over as king. Belshazzar also is he's also a son of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't think he's a grandson, I think he's a son, but he may be a grandson. I think there's a discussion about that. But Belshazzar takes over. Belshazzar rules for 3 years, and at that point he says, it's been 70 years. I've completed the 70 years. My third year, we're done with the 70 years. He knew about the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, of 70 years, and the language of the Nevuah is, as we read in Malachim, the language is Lemalos Shivim Shana, to fulfill 70 years. But the language actually is 70 years Lemalos Libavel Shivim Shana, 70 years from Bavel. So he, Belshazzar, counted 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, because Bavel became a power under Nebuchadnezzar. I'll explain that in a moment as well. Plus the 23 years of Evel Merodach, that's 68, plus his first 2 years, that's 70. 70 first year, then the 70 years are done, and Hashem has not redeemed the Jewish people. Obviously, he has forsaken the Jewish people. He is never coming back for them. Until then, even the Goyim were scared of this Nevuah, that they would be, that Hashem would come back for them. And so they were nervous. And therefore, even though all of the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash were taken to Bavel, they were not confident to use those utensils. But after 70 years were presumably over, so then Belshazzar took out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he used the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Now that day, it wasn't just in a vacuum that he made a party. He had a major battle with Persia. Persia was the country that was challenging Bavel for supremacy in the world. And they had a major, major battle. Bavel, under Belshazzar, won that battle. And this was a victory seuda. It was a victory party for having beaten the Persians. And in that party, he pulled out the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. It is at that party, the famous handwriting on the wall, Daniel was there at that party, and a hand came out of Shemaim and wrote on the wall. No one was able to interpret what it said except for Daniel. And he did interpret it, and essentially told Belshazzar that because you used the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be destroyed. That same night, Bobalila, that same night, the Persians regrouped, came back and attacked, beat the Babylonians, killed Belshazzar, and became the supreme power of the world. That's what happened. They were led by Daryavesh. That would be Darius by Daryavesh. He was their king. It was really an alliance of the Persians and the Medes. That's really what it was. But it's called Paras. The Daryavesh was a Mede. He was really from Madai. His son-in-law, Koresh, who we just mentioned here in Divrei Yomim, was a Persian. So his daughter was married to a Persian. There was an alliance between the kings, between the two countries. So Madai, Paras, or Madai, as we know from the Megillah, Madai, or Paras, Medes and Persians, Persians and Medes, they worked together. So he, Daryavesh, ruled for 1 year after having defeated Belshazzar, and then Daryavesh was killed in battle. And then Koresh took over. And then Koresh ruled, and in Koresh's third year, actually second year, Koresh's second year, remember for second or third year, as you heard in a minute, the years get blurry. Then that's when this proclamation comes about, and he announces that the permission has been granted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? Why is it that Belshazzar was wrong in his calculation? And then what calculation actually was being used that Koresh should give permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara tells us there were several mistakes over here. One mistake was, it says Lamalos leBavel Shivim Shana, to count 70 years for Bavel. The presumption was that meant from when Bavel became a world power. Bavel was a very small, insignificant country, and then Hashem made Bavel a powerful country. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Yechezkel that Yechezkel sees Maaseh Merkava, he sees the chariot of Hashem, and he sees this tempest, Ruach Sa'ara, Ba'a Minat Safon, coming from the north. So Chazal tell us, why does he see it coming from the north? Because Kiviyachol, so to speak, the Shekhinah had gone to the north, to Bavel. Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. Had gone to the north to make Bavel into a power. Because Hashem had decreed that the destruction would come through Bavel, through Nebuchadnezzar, but Hashem did not want the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to come at the hands of a minor power, because that's adding insult to injury. If the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and the Jews are going to be taken to the Gullus, in order that it not be insulting and it not be degrading, it had to be that it would be the greatest power in the world that would take the Jews into exile, not a weak power. So Bavel was made into a world power when Nebuchadnezzar became king. As we said, in his first year, he conquered Nineveh, which was Ashur, which made him the preeminent power in the world. Belshazzar counted from the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. As we said, 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, 23 years of El Merudach, and then his 2 years, that total of 70 years. So his first mistake was that he counted the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Because when it says the count from Babel 70 years, it does not mean starting with the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, rather it means from when Bavel conquered Eretz Yisrael the first time, which was in Nebuchadnezzar's second year. So already he's a year off. But in addition to that, the Gemara says there were shanim mikutos. There were years that were really half years, because the way that they counted the years, the way they wrote on documents, we write that this year is 2018. Now, what we're counting from is actually not a great thing. We should not really be acknowledging what we're counting from, but that's what the world counts from today. But in their day, they counted from the reign of the king. So you wrote a document, it's the third year of Nebuchadnezzar, it's the 25th year of Nebuchadnezzar, it's the 36th year of Nebuchadnezzar. That's what they would do. After he died, they would then start counting the first year of Avam Merudach, the second year of Avam Merudach, etc. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't really rule 45 years, he ruled 44 and a half years. Avam Merudach didn't really rule 23 years, it was really 22 and a half years. So you really missed another year over there. So really you're 2 years off one, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, and second, that you have 2 half years to come together. So there really are 2 years off. So then after Belshazzar is killed and Dariavesh takes over, and then he's killed and Koresh takes over, you got to fill in those couple of years before the 70 years are really over. When the 70 years are really over, then Koresh gives permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. However, there is another Nevuah, and that Nevuah is in Sefer Daniel, which we learned. And there, Daniel says that it's going to be 70 years from the Golos. That's what he says. That's his language of the 70 years, which implies there's 2 different counts of the 70 years. One is from the first time Yerushalayim was captured, and the second is 70 years from Golos. Now, how many years are there between the time that Yerushalayim was first conquered and the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? 18 years. However, we know that the definition of Golos is convoluted because we went into Golos twice. We went into Golos under Yehoyachin, and then we went into Golos under Tzidkiyahu. Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed until the second Golos, but the first one, which was 11 years earlier, we also went into Golos. Achashverosh, when he became king, he either succeeded Koresh, or there was one between Koresh and Achashverosh. But when he became king, he said they all made mistakes when they counted, because they counted from the conquest of Yerushalayim, where they counted from the Bavel becoming that Belshazzar counted from. He said Belshazzar counted from when Bavel became a country, whatever it is. But really, he should have counted from Golos. Which Golos? From the Golos of Yehoyachin. That's how Achashverosh counted. Therefore, according to Achashverosh's count, they were off by 7 years. By 7 years, because that's how many years it was from the original conquest of Yerushalayim until the time that they went into, that they were taking the Golos the first time. Or if you count from when Nebuchadnezzar became king, 8 years. That's they were off. Achashverosh therefore waited till the 3rd year of his own reign, and then he said, now the 7 years is really over. Now he made mistakes as well. First of all, he's got the wrong Golos. And second of all, he also did not realize that there were half years, and he counted the half years. It's unclear to me whether they really didn't realize, or whether they really believed that since it counts as a year for the king, therefore it counts for the Nevuah as well. Because the kings were the power of the world. And therefore Hashem gives a certain power to that, and therefore their half years count as full years. At any rate, whatever it is, he also miscounted. And he threw his party, and he used the Kelim of Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara says, Bas Satan v'rikid b'neiam, the Satan came and danced among them, and Vashti is killed. Vashti being a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, so Vashti is killed. Rather than Achashverosh being killed, it is Vashti who is killed, since it's really Nebuchadnezzar who's the one who is to blame for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That party was actually 14 years too early. Because, really, as we know, from the Golos Yehoyachin to the Golos of Tzidkiyahu was 11 years, plus Achashverosh added 3 years because he counted half years as full years. So the party that we read about in the beginning of Megillas Esther is 14 years too early. And the when those 14 years actually end, that is when that Hashem puts in the he has several names. He's called Dariavash of Koresh, and he's called Artaxasta, the son of Achashverosh and Esther, and he gives permission to Ezra to go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And they go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It takes a few years to build, but that is when permission is granted. That's when 70 years from what? From the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Nevuah of Daniel. So that's how it happens, that the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash happens in 2 stages because of the 2 different Nevuahs. There's the first one with Koresh, where they lay the foundation. That work is then interrupted because of the Goyim who live in and around Yerushalayim complain and claim that the Jews are out to rebel, and therefore permission is rescinded. According to some opinions, it is Achashverosh himself who rescinded the permission that had been granted by Koresh before him. One of the troublemakers in Yerushalayim who sent the message that the Jews were rebelling is Shimshai. Shimshai is the son of Haman. One of the sons of Haman was the scribe. He was the second in command in the area around Yerushalayim, and he's one of those who halted the work of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Purim story ensues from there. So after you have the end of Malachim, the end of Divrei Hayamim, so we have Sefer Daniel, which we already learned, which comes on the heels of these Svarim. And in Sefer Daniel, we read about what happens from the Golus Yehoyachin, backtracks to the Golus Yehoyachin, because that's when Daniel first comes on the scene. That's when he's taken to Bavel, along with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And you learn about that. And Daniel is consistently elevated to the chief advisor to the king, no matter who's in charge, whether it is Nebuchadnezzar, whether it is Koresh, Nebuchadnezzar's children as well, Evan Maruruch and Belshazzar, whether it is Koresh, Dayavish, who is the Mede, that's the story of Daniel and the lions. Takes place there. Koresh, Daniel is there as well. And then when you get to Achashverosh, then you have Machlokes, what happens with Daniel, because some say he is Hasach, and that's in itself a dispute what happened to Hasach. So he's a constant thing, which is an unbelievable thing that happens, because normally a new king cleans house. And as a new dynasty cleans house, I'm not going to use the advisors of the Babylonians. They're the enemy. I'm getting new advisors, but that's not what happened. Instead, they consistently kept Daniel up there. Daniel represented the Malucha. Daniel also is from David HaMelech, so he represents the kingship, and he is up there. The under Koresh, when permission is granted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that's when you have Ezra and Nehemiah. Really, it's Nehemiah who leads the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash under Koresh. They lay the foundation. Ezra does not go in that first wave to go to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't go because his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, is still alive, and he doesn't want to leave his Rebbe. He's learning Torah. Ezra was the Gadol Hadar. He becomes the Gadol Hadar. Then, after you have the Purim story. And then after the Purim story, then you have the bulk of the Sefer of Ezra Nehemiah, which is really one Sefer, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash is built, and then later on Yerushalayim is rebuilt. So those are the Maisim you have over there. Again, we learned all of that before. So that is, and of course, once you get to the second Beis HaMikdash, then the age of Nevuah ends, and our Svarim end. So that's where they end. So, there we have Sefer Malachim, and a lot of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The question is, what to do from here on? And I'm leaving the recording on, because whoever's listening online is going to know what we're doing next. Right, what's next? So, Svarim that we have not yet done, which we could do, I know what I want to do, but I'm going to tell you what the options are. We have not done Sefer Yeshayahu, which would take us back to the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We'll take us back a little bit before, to the time when the 10 tribes went into Golus, and Sancheirev, and Chizkiyahu and Menashe, that whole all those kings. There we have not done Sefer Yirmiyahu, which is the time frame that we're in right now in Malachim. Yirmiyahu is there throughout the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, both before and after. We have not done Yehoshua and Shoftim, which is way back, that's all the way back in the beginning. And we have not done, in terms of the Nevi'im, we have not done the entire Treyasar. We've done Sefer Yonah, and we've done Sefer Ovadia, but we have not done the bulk of Treyasar. Treyasar, as you know from a shiur we had earlier, spans the time from right around Yeshaya down to the second Beis HaMikdash. Destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. It ends with Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who are the last of the Nevi'im. Malachi is Ezra. So it ends with those Nevi'im. So we have not done that, and we haven't done all of Ksuvim either. But in terms of Nevi'im, that's what we have not done. I am inclined. I don't want to go back to Yeshua and Shoftim. Not now. I want to, just because that would really take us back to a whole different time frame. So I don't want to do that right now. Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu are both interesting. Yirmiyahu is I don't want to talk about a Novi, but it's not an upbeat sefer.
It's all destruction.
Yeah, it's not an upbeat sefer. But we got to learn it. I mean, we got to learn it at some point. We're going to just have to bite that bullet. Yeshaya is interesting. I am inclined right now, rather than start a big thing like that, is to do the rest of the Treyasar. That's what I'm inclined to do, because we've just finished Malachim, and the Treyasar, we can plug it in to the various kings that we've spoken about over the past several months. That's my inclination. I am open to suggestions or comments. I'll shut up for that, so you'll feel you can talk freely, but that is what I am inclined to do.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.